Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, in the Spirit. Chapter 8, Rules for the Trial of the Sincerity of Our Heart in Prayer. Section 1. First, what is thy care in performing this duty in secret? If thy heart be sincere, it will delight in privacy. A false heart calls others to witness his zeal for God. May be he is forward to put himself upon duty, where he hath spectators to applaud him. But either he is wholly a stranger to secret prayer, or else he is cold to the performance. He finds himself becalmed, and now he wants the breath of others to fill his sails. Whereas a sincere Christian never finds more freedom of spirit than in his ordinary addresses to God. Joseph, when he would give full vent to his passion, sought some secret place to weep. Therefore he retired into his chamber. Genesis chapter 43, verse 30. So the sincere Christian goes into his closet, eases his heart into the bosom of God, and lets his passion of sorrow for sin and love to Christ have their full scope, which in public prayer he restrains. Now speak, Christian, what is thy temper? Can thy closet witness for thee in particular? It is the trick of a hypocrite to strain himself to the utmost in duty when he has spectators, and to be careless alone. Secondly, observe thyself in thy more public addresses to the throne of grace in particular. First, when thou prayest before others, observe on what thou bestowest thy chief care and zeal, whether on the externals or internals of prayer, that which is exposed to the eye and ear of men, or that for the eye and ear of God, the devout posture of thy body or the inward devotion of thy soul, the prompt of thy words or the power of thy faith, the agitation of thy bodily spirits and the vehemency of thy voice, or the fervency in thy spirit in broken, heartbreaking affections. These inward workings are the very soul of prayer. It is faith, love, brokenness of heart for sin, and the inward affections exerted in prayer that, like Elijah in his fierce chariot, mount up to God in the heavens, while the others, with the prophet's mantle, fall to the ground. The sincere soul dares not be rude in his outward posture. He is careful of his words, that they be grave and pertinent. Neither would he pray them asleep who join with him by a cold manner of delivering his prayer. But still it is the inward disposition of his heart he principally looks to, knowing well that it is possible to be warm in the duty, thereby benefiting others, and at the same time have his own heart cold and idle. Therefore, he doth not count he prays well, except he finds his own affections drawn out in the duty. Whereas the hypocrite, if he comes off the duty with the applause of others and the external performance, he is well pleased. Secondly, when thou joinest with another that prayeth, do the gifts and graces that breathe from others in prayer warm thy affections and draw out thy soul to bear them company to heaven in the petition they put up? Or do they stir up a secret envying and repining at the gifts of God bestowed on them? This discovers much pride and unsoundness in thy spirit. The hypocrite is proud and thinks all the water lost that runs besides his own mill. Whereas a sincere soul prizes the gifts of others, heartily blesses God for them, and maketh a humble and holy use of them. His heart is as much affected with the holy, savory requests that another puts up, as when they come out of his own mouth. But the hypocrite's eye is evil, because God is good. The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, chapter 8. Rules for trial of the sincerity of our hearts in prayer. Section 2. Thirdly, observe if thy fervency in prayer be uniform. A false heart may seem very hot in praying against one's sin, but can skip over another as a partial witness that would fain save the prisoner's life, would not speak all he knows. A hypocrite will be favorable to one lust and violent against another, whereas a sincere Christian abhors all sin. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalms 119, verse 133. The hypocrite is as uneven in his petitions as in his deprecations, earnest for some mercies, and commonly of an inferior nature, but more indifferent in his desires for those that are greater. He ties mint and cumin in his prayers, but neglects the weightier things of the promise and sanctifying graces of the Spirit: humility, heavenly mindedness, content, self-denial. A little of these will satisfy him. Fourthly, observe whether thy endeavors correspond with thy prayers. The hypocrite seems hot in prayer, but you will find him cold enough at work. He prays very fiercely against his sins, as if he desired them to be all slain upon the place, but doth he set himself upon the work of mortification? Doth he withdraw the fuel that feeds them? When temptations come, do they find him in arms, resolved to resist their motion? No, if a few good words in prayer will do, well and good, but as for any more, he is too lazy. Whereas a sincere Christian is not idle after prayer. When it hath given heaven the alarm and called God to his help, then he takes the field himself and opposes his lusts with all his might, watching their motions and taking every advantage he possibly can to fall upon them. Every mercy he receives, he beats it out into a weapon to knock down all thoughts of sinning again. Seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hath given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments? Ezra chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. God forbid, saith the holy soul. Every promise he reads, he lifts it up as a sword for his defense against his enemy. Having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. 2 Corinthians 7:1. I shall close this with a few directions. Section 3. First, see that thy heart is united by faith in Christ. It is faith that purifies the heart from its false principles and ends in duty. God made man upright, and while he stood so, his eye and foot went right. But after Eve had talked with the serpent, she and all mankind after her learnt the serpent's crooked motion, to look one way and go another. God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Ecclesiastes 7:29. Beg therefore with David that God would renew a right spirit within thee. Psalms 51:10. What the evil spirit hath perverted, the Holy Spirit alone can set it right. Hypocrisy in duty comes from the falseness of man's depraved nature. The heart, therefore, must be made new before it can be sincere. The new heart is the single heart. Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. Secondly, making hypocrisy in prayer appear as odious to thee as possible, and thou need dress it up in no other than its own clothes. First, consider what a grievous sin it is. A lie spoken by one man to another is a sin of high aggravation. What then is that lie which is uttered in prayer to God? Surely this must be much more horrid, for here is blasphemy in the untruth. God spares not to give the hypocrite the lie. Ephraim encompasses me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Hosea 11:12. The lies they told God were as numerous as their prayers. Oh, the patience of God, that doth not strike the hypocrite dead while the lie is in his throat, as he did Ananias and Sapphira. Secondly, it is a great folly. Who but a fool can think to blind the eyes of the Almighty? Canst thou cover the sun with thy hand, that it shall not shine? As unable art thou to hide thy secret designs, so that the great God should not see them. It is impossible to deceive God, but thou deceivest thyself most woefully. But thinkest thou thy mendest the matter by praying, but thou makest it worse. When thou comest on thy trial for thy life, as Solomon saith of another kind of hypocrite, Psalms 118, lay wait for thine own blood, and look privily for thy own life. Of all sinners the hypocrite hath the precedency in God's purposes and preparations of wrath. Hell is prepared for him as the firstborn of damnation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 51. Other sinners are said to have their portion with hypocrites, as the younger brethren with their elder, who is the heir. Thirdly, crucify thy effects to the world. Hypocrisy in religion springs from the bitter root of some carnal affection unmortified. So long as thy prey lies below, thy eye will be to the earth. When thou seemest like an eagle to mount in thy prayers to heaven, God is in the hypocrite's mouth, but the world is in his heart, which he expects to gain through his good reputation. I have read of one that offered his prince a good sum of money to have leave once or twice a day to come into his presence and only say, God save your majesty. The prince, wondering at this large offer for so small a favor, asked him, what advantage would this afford him? O sire, saith he, this, though I have nothing else at your hands, will get me a name in the country for one who is a great favorite at court, and such an opinion will help me to more at the year's end than it costs me for the purchase. Thus some, by the name they give for the great saints, advantage their worldly interests, which lie at the bottom of all their professions. Well, as thou lovest thy soul and wouldest not lose this forever, mortify those carnal affections which thou findest most likely to withdraw thy heart from God. Thou knowest not God if thou seest not enough in him to make thee happy without the world's contribution. This, thoroughly believed, will make thee sincere in his service. I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. End of chapter 8.